Life Audio.
We know that repentance produces fruit, and there can really be true life change if someone is repentant. But if they're not, if they're just caught, if they're angry for being caught, if they're denying the situation, then we know there is no change that's about to occur. Therefore, our consequence or our course of action must be different than with someone with a repentant heart.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Welcome back, baby, to another episode of Life After Addiction. We just got some Domino's pizza in us, so we have energy that we did not have before.
That's right. Hey, you guys.
Yeah, so we're going to be fully transparent. We did an episode before this, and we were like, yikes. Probably got to scrap that one. I think there was about 14.3 seconds of the 30 minutes that we're going to use. And so we'll just make that 14.3 seconds short. And it's good as new, dude. You'll never know.
And we're not going to scrap it. We're going to use it. It's good. We responded to some of your comments. But, hey, new put it back in.
Yeah.
New episode today. We're going to talk about repentance, confession, repentance, and what that looks like. And, man, we always say it, and I've heard it said, the life of a Christian is a life of repentance. I think Amen. Oftentimes it is thought, and I would say I was guilty of this thought as well, that repentance is something that you do when you get saved. And that's, oh, God, forgive me, I repent. And then you get saved and you don't do that anymore. No, no, no. The mark of a true Christian is a life of repentance. And so we want to break that down, exploring the biblical concept and meaning of repentance, how the world refines and defines repentance. I guess I can go ahead and dive into that. So Oxford's dictionary says that repentance is sincere regret or remorse. And a biblical Christ view of repentance is not just regret or remorse, but change, that you are turning from something, that you are looking to the author and perfecter of your faith, and you're saying, God, I know that I sinned against you, and that I'm in agreement that I sinned, and I want to turn from it. I don't just want to have regret and dig a pity party and pull this place that I'm decorating the walls of my pit because I am in depression. No, I want to change, and that's what I think the difference is.
Hey, man, yeah. So we, I think we briefly touched on some of this stuff, I don't know how many episodes ago, several episodes ago, but it was one of the pursuit paths, and it was talking about embracing a lifestyle of confession and repentance. And there was an exercise I want to talk about real quick that was on there that's been extremely beneficial for me, but it was spiritual breathing. And all that means is three different steps. And so to spiritually breathe, it essentially just means like to inhale, or to first to exhale a confession, right? Sin that is going on in your life, and repenting and confessing these things, acknowledging your sin to God. And then the inhale was appropriating the power of the Holy Spirit to your life, appropriating the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, appropriating the promises of God over your life. So exhaling confession and repentance, and then inhaling, appropriating the Holy Spirit, Spirit's power over your life. But it was three steps. So the first was acknowledgement of sin. Two was acceptance of forgiveness, and three is repentance. Mm. I think where we miss the mark a lot of times, well, there's several different areas, is, you know, we allow sin to just fester and just, you know, create havoc and wreak havoc in our lives. And then it builds, you know, these barriers in between your communication and intimacy with God. And we fail to repent for things. But the second is when we do even repent, man, we struggle to accept God's forgiveness.
Yeah.
And we leave repentance a lot of time feeling shame, feeling guilt, feeling condemnation, feeling unworthy. Well, the beautiful thing about repentance, man, and God's grace is that, yeah, it's always unmerited favor. It never changes, you know? And so I think that's a beautiful thing. The verse that always comes to mind when I think of repentance is 1 John 1:9. And it says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
So if we confess our sins to him, if we acknowledge the sin in our lives, if we bring it to the light, if we come into agreement that, God, what I am doing is sinning against you, it goes against how you have called me to conduct myself, how you have called me to live. I am acknowledging, God, that I have failed. I am acknowledging that I have fallen short of the glory of God, and I'm bringing it to light. man, he is faithful and just to forgive me of these sins, not because of me, but because the power of the cross, because of the atonement that Jesus' sacrifice was for those of us who confess him as Lord and Savior. And not only that, right, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, but also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's such a beautiful passage and constant reminder for me that, man, I have to have a continued heart of repentance. We talk about it before of keeping short accounts of sin. And as you mature in your faith, you kind of grasp what that is saying. But essentially, when I first got here, you know, there were still certain things I struggled with, whether it was lust, whether it was porn, whether it was idolatry, whether it was all these other things. And like, you go on living this way because I'm spiritually immature. And then like maybe a year or two later, I finally acknowledge like, hey, these are just as much of a hindrance in my life as drugs and alcohol.
Yeah,
I classify it as to a lesser degree because I'm not spiritually mature. But as I grow in the things of God, I no longer classify, well, this is just porn. It's not heroin. And this is just lust. And so it's not this.
It's sin.
It's sin.
Yeah.
And so whenever you're able to see it through that lens, man, instead of waiting a year or two to acknowledge the sin in my life, what keeping short accounts of sin is like, man, if I'm lusting after a woman, you know, who's worship, who's leading worship, man, I've got to be quick to repent and acknowledge these things and ask the Lord, God, rid me of this thought, rid me of you know, these crazy feelings I'm having, whatever the case may be. But man, we have to acknowledge the sin in our lives. And a lot of times we fail to do that. One, because we're being spiritually lazy.
Yeah.
And two, it's just because we're blind to it and don't want to give it up. You know, we convince ourselves it's not hindering us.
Yeah. And I think I figured out part of the problem with my energy. One, we already discussed both of our stuff with some of the heavy stuff going on in the ministry, but my wife's out of town, and my daughter this morning wanted to get up before the sun came out, and the way she woke me up in my bed was just a sweet little kiss on my cheek. And so you can't be mad at her, but it's, and I'm not going back to sleep once I'm up and it's like 4:30. I can't go back to sleep when I'm asleep for an hour. But so that's kind of, I was thinking back and I was like, oh, I can't be mad. That was so sweet. But let me ask you a question, and I'm going to dive into this, because would you say that dealing with sin is important?
Yes.
And so why? Because is there fruit from addressing sin, repenting of sin and those kind of things?
Absolutely.
God uses it to set you free, to grow you from
Absolutely.
That? Okay. And so just kind of bringing it back to life after addiction, man, the big battle, one of the big battles, I will say, is this battle against the moral view of addiction. And if we can't call sin sin, then we're not in a place that we can do what we need to do because of sin, repentance. Come to God and say, God, I've worshipped an idol in the form of a bottle. Instead of trusting in you and your promises and believing what your word says, I relied on this idol. And if I can't say that, then we're removing the power of everything that S2L and the Word of God teaches. And so, man, it's just, and I don't know why I went down that rabbit trail, but the world is attempting that. The world is trying to take the power away. And if that's true, then addiction and overdoses will be getting worse. And if you look at it, addiction and overdoses are getting worse. Man, this book, this the Word of God, His truth, His promises, it's real and it's the answer. It's the answer. By the authority of God's word and my own testimony, man, there is freedom from addiction, but you got to call a spade a spade. I think a couple episodes ago we said, well, you have to own stuff. You have to acknowledge that you're doing this, and that if you're not taking that way of escape that we discussed is available, then you're choosing it. You're choosing to dig yourself into this hole. And so I wanted to know, I want to read some scripture from 2 Corinthians and really just note the difference between godly and worldly. 2 Corinthians 10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. And so there's a difference between godly grief that leads to what? Life and salvation, and there's no regrets, but there's still grief, right? It uses the word grief, and it leads you to repentance. So I've sinned. I'm grieving. I'm not allowing it to become depression and taking me to a place of woe is me. That's godly grief, and it leads me to repentance with no regrets. Worldly grief produces death, decay, no joy, death to your joy, death to your relationships, death to your fellowship, death to your life, because, man, you're in this worldly grief, and all of a sudden, and you've been there, I've been there, even after believing in Jesus and following Christ, there's still moments that I fight for my joy.
Absolutely.
And if I don't, and I let the world and this grief come over me, man, it's just, it's decay, it's death, it's not fun.
Yeah, and so what true repentance is, man, true repentance is just coming into agreement with how God has called us to live and coming into agreement that I have fallen short of that, you know. Repentance, brokenness is required for repentance. Can you pull that off so I can see that? So repentance requires true brokenness, man. Repentance is not asking the Lord for forgiveness and then just like planning on just sinning again and living the life. Oh, well, repentance, I can always repent and God will forgive me. No, it's from a genuine conviction from the Holy Spirit inside of you that is coming into agreement of your brokenness,
yeah.
That is coming into agreement that God, my intent is to not sin again, but I know I have an advocate in Jesus Christ when I do fall short. You know, repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of sin with commitment to change, with commitment to continue to honor God in how I live and how I walk and how I talk and how I act and how I love. It's coming into agreement with, man, God, I'm committed to living a life that honors you. And repentance leads us to cultivate a life of godliness, you know, by eradicating habits that lead us to sin, that lead us into temptation. It's cultivating these godly characteristics and traits and attributes and applying them to our lives.
Yeah.
I am naturally inherently a sinful person by nature because we were born into sin inherently.
Yeah.
Now, I am regenerated by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit inside of me, right? But I still live in this carnal body. And so I'm still always going to have this, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a P word. This pro something. Tracking?
Prolific?
You're tracking.
Provocation?
Somewhere along there. You don't know me. Come on.
I don't know your words, but I mean, back to what I mean, to my point earlier inside of this, man, like, and I'm not trying to be controversial, but when you see something and it's one of the main causes for people staying in bondage, it frustrates me, man, because the system as it is today will make you a victim. And none of this beautiful things, he just went down and talked about repentance and when you're broken and that you're not asking God for help. But what repentance does, it causes you to eradicate bad habits and draws you closer to God. Mm-hmm. But if you were a victim, if it's not your fault, if you're told that it's just a disease genetically and you couldn't help it, and you're just in this system of victimhood, man, there will be no true repentance. And the reason that it's so important is because what we read, repentance leads to salvation and a life without regrets. Mm. And if you never get to taste that, if you're always the victim, if you're told that this is not my fault, and that if you just go to a God of your own understanding and you do these things, man, that is surface level, and you will be just in remission. You'll just be this thing that what the light or the doorknob or the God of my own understanding is keeping me sober. But when that fails you, like we were talking about with the kids a few weeks ago at the youth group, man, you were talking about my identity was in baseball or women. Mm-hmm. And then I broke my arm or my leg. What'd you break?
My hand.
Well, okay. You could have just gone with arm or leg there, but you broke your hand and then baseball was over. And then therefore depression, my identity's gone. Or if the girl breaks up with you or whatever it is, man, that is not living a life without regret, man. That is digging a bigger hole for the pit that you're living in.
Yeah. Yeah. And repentance just, it aligns our hearts with God.
Yeah.
It just aligns our hearts with God and how he has called us to live. And just the communion between you and the Father when you have a heart of repentance, man, and a genuine desire to grow and change and be the man or woman of God he's called you to be. It's a beautiful thing. Propensity, guys. Come on. You got to be able to track.
We got to read his mind better.
We have this propensity to sin, though, and it talks about it in the book of 1 John. You know, he says, I write these things to you, little children, so that you may not sin.
Mm.
But If you do, you have an advocate in Jesus Christ. So praise God that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And yes, there is this propensity that we have to sin even beyond salvation. But man, like I said, man, that shouldn't cause us to just ever come into agreement with sin and just be like, well, we're all sinners and therefore we're all just going to sin. So it's okay. By no means shall we continue in sin. By no means. So yes, we have a heart of repentance. Yes, we have confess and acknowledge the sin in our lives. But man, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, and that in and of itself gives me hope.
Yeah,
that brings me peace.
Matthew 3:8 talks about bearing fruit in repentance, almost like there's this expectation of the Christian life to bear positive fruit in repentance. And that just goes with how we do ministry too, man, whether it be with a student or a staff member. If something hits the fan and goes wrong, the response that we have towards them, whether it be however it is, our response is dictated on their heart. Is there a heart of one of repentance? And the reason that we do that, because that is an indicator. Now, obviously, there's manipulation that can happen inside of that, and we're pretty good at reading those things after being master manipulators ourselves for so long. But the reason that we decide our the consequence of the situation or how decide what we do inside of a situation based on repentance, because, man, we know that repentance produces fruit, and there can really be true life change if someone is repentant. But if they're not, if they're just caught, if they're angry for being caught, if they're denying the situation, then we know there is no change that's about to occur. Therefore, our consequence or our course of action must be different than with someone with a repentant heart.
Yeah.
And so it's massive.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I just encountered a situation with that exact thing where, you know, there wasn't genuine repentance or remorse or conviction. And so it's like you want to show grace, but when there's no acknowledgement of sin, there's no, you know, taking accountability and responsibility for the mistake, there's no, there's blaming and, you know, all these different things. It's very hard to like see that, man, there's going to be any change that transpires, because it's like I don't see any evidence of genuine remorse and conviction and the weight to your sin.
And so therefore likely will
repeat itself.
Repeat the bad action.
Yeah.
And so repentance is something, and we've talked about it probably on every episode. Every time I preach at Catapult or preach at a church, man, I want to talk about repentance and as a time of response every time, just because we do. A Christian life is marked with repentance. And so getting that back into culture as opposed to the victimhood, because if you pull repentance back into the culture, that people have to say, yeah, I sinned against God, as opposed to it was his fault, so therefore I'm a victim. If I'm a victim, therefore I can't be guilty of a crime.
Yeah.
And so, man, repentance is such a good thing, man. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is such a good thing, and we've made it such a bad thing, especially those in substance abuse. We don't want to feel that. We numbed it for so long. But, man, conviction from the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, one, that's an indicator that you're with God, you're a believer. And we already talked about worldly grief versus godly grief. The godly grief, the godly conviction is going to call you to a place of repentance. And if you repent, it brings a life of no regret.
Yeah.
it's a beautiful thing.
No regrets.
No regrets.
Yeah, not only confession to God.
No regrets.
As well as confession to others. You know, James 5:16 tells us, confess your sins, therefore, to one another and pray for one another that you may be
healed.
The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, or the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Yep.
And so it tells us to share our struggles, share our sins with one another so that we can have better insight on how to pray for them, how to point out their blind spots, how to hold them accountable, how to encourage them, how to love them, and how to pray against the sin and struggles that they are facing.
Yeah.
And whenever we do that and we come together in community, it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We can pray for healing. We can pray for chains to be broken. We can come into agreement that what we are doing is egregious and goes against how God has called us to live. And the power in community, man, it's so strong. Like, I'm a better man because of the men that I surround myself with nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, I am a better man because of the men I walk with currently and that I allow into my life and that I allow to speak wisdom over me and I allow to hold me accountable and I allow to, you know, share things with that maybe I necessarily wouldn't ever have those types of relationships prior to knowing the Lord. But you've got to have at least a few people in your circle that you can do genuine life with, that regardless of how difficult it is to talk about something and confess a sin to somebody, man, you have to have a couple men or women that you can do that with in your life.
Amen. Amen. By the time this comes out, you will be a married man.
Yeah, isn't that pretty crazy? That's crazy.
A married man. And I can't wait till you start having kids. That little girl comes to you, daddy, kisses you on the cheek. Normally, if someone wakes me up from a good sleep, it's anger, right? But when it's your daughter and it's daddy with a kiss on the cheek, it's like, who are you? It's weird, man.
You wrapped around her little finger, dude.
She does, man, and she knows it too. Yeah. And with mom out of town, she knows it. Can I get an extra Oreo? Of course you can.
Of course you can have an extra Oreo.
What do you mean? Of course. Yeah. Eli, sit down.
Yeah.
No, you can't have an Oreo. But yes, baby, you can.
Yes, you can.
No, I'm not like that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, though, dude. This will come out the week after.
Yeah, you'll be on your honeymoon, I believe.
Shout out Destin, Florida, dude. This is where you can find me.
Mar-a-Lago. Are you going to see Trump?
Yeah, I'm playing golf with him.
That's nice, man. If I had your money, I'd burn mine.
Come on, baby. I've been using that.
So a life of repentance leads to a life without regrets, man. Mm. Summed it up right there. But if you are going to take things that come and have a worldly grief, which the system of addiction recovery is all about, that worldly grief, victimhood, man, the Bible says that it leads to death and decay. I mean, what exactly? It says worldly grief produces death, whereas godly grief produces salvation without regret. Mm. So, man, conviction is going to come, and you should thank God for conviction. Respond differently. Respond differently when you have been convicted of a sin. And what we mean is repent. Repent. Don't make yourself a victim, because a victim, man, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I've been there. And I see it so much.
Yeah.
Every day I see it so much, just what we do. And it's so powerful to know that you can repent and understand that the cross had meaning.
Amen. Repent, man. Repent, confess, acknowledge the sin in your life. Repent for it, man. Accept the forgiveness that God offers those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Do real life with men and women of God. Come together in agreement.
Yeah.
You know, a band of brothers is stronger than one man alone. Man, link up with one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
Bear fruit in repentance. Keeping with repentance. Anything else?
Repentance leads to godliness, baby. That is life after addiction.
That's it. That's life after addiction. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S, the number 2, L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S, the number 2, L.recovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts and their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.